기도합니다. Good evening. Please stand as we sing number 421. My sins are gone.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the floor on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, it's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Twas at the old-time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I'm living now for Jesus, I'm happy night and day, because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music, with all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, it's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Good to see you tonight. I was just watching my young brother here have to take care of his little brothers, and I thought, I remember those days. But when we get old now, all we have to worry about, our mate usually behaves, all we have to do is wake him up every once in a while, but that's, at least we're not getting into stuff. So I'm glad you brought the kids to church. I know they're a handful, but thank you for bringing them. And Sean? Did you notice how quick I was with that? I'm good. I can pass the buck like that right there. Sean wasn't even around. I've got real quick. If something breaks, I'll yell someone's name out. So if I look at them, and they, so. All right, let's pray. We got several folks who are sick, and I'll let you know about them in a little bit. But again, let's pray, and then we'll continue on. Father, we ask, as we always do, for your blessings and your power tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with the folks still getting here, get them here safely, take care of our loved ones at our home. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We will be singing 413, Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I cling, in His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, love. look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love, lift and me, love, lift and me. When nothing else could help, love, lift and me. Love, lift and me, love, lift and me. When nothing else could help, love, lift and me.
I'm going to announce this before I forget after a while. If you're interested in doing the going to the booth at Fiesta this year, now it's not the same time it usually was. It is sometime in March. Too many cards. It is the end of March. I'll get the dates on it, and then it goes up till like the 10th of April, where usually it was at the end of April. But I'll meet with you tonight after church if you're interested. Are you practicing piano down or guitar down here? Okay, so if you're interested in the booth thing, just meet me over here. Brother Nichols wanted me to find out how many folks was interested, and Roy did too. So if you'll meet with me for a few moments, I'll give you the details. I'll find which card I have it written on. If not, I can turn my phone back on. It's on my phone. But that is coming up in just a few weeks. Don't forget to pray for Preacher Cindy always. Don't forget to pray for Betty. She is home. All the stuff going on overseas, and again, men and women that's involved in that and the Ukraine stuff. And don't forget to always pray for our president and the politicians that they'll make wise and right decisions. I don't ever trust them, but I trust the one who's in charge of them, and that's God. The Bible says he can turn them whithersoever he will. So I talk to God about them all the time, which is what you should do as well. So, and then after church, you can go by and say hi to Tatiana. She's here for a few days. When do you leave? Talia, when do you leave? Sunday. So they'll be here for a few more days. So go by and say hi to them. If you, and again, I think Hannah's in town, right? But the boys are not? Brother Perry? Huh? They will be here tomorrow. So I knew Hannah came in a day or two ago. So I know Daniel and Angelica are not coming home, and Henry's not coming home. So a couple of our call, these kids are home. So make sure you spend a moment or two with them and say hi to them. Let them know you've been praying for them, thinking about them.
We will be singing number 391, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Stand up, please.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be out in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungry spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I forgot to mention, pray for the Yallers. They're out of town as well. They went to see relatives. Pray for Miss Bell. She's coming back in town Friday. I just didn't ask the Yallas. I'll try to find out, but I don't know what day they're coming back in town. Does anybody know? I just know that they went to visit, and I don't know if they even set a time to be back, but pray for them. Sir? Middle of next week. All right. And also, there is activity tomorrow night, 6 to 7:30. Forgot to go through all the regular announcements because all we have was just home folks, but I didn't want the teens to think that we don't have an activity because we do.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in church. I pray that you bless the preaching, Lord, and I pray that you bless the offering, Lord, the gift and the giver. I pray that you'd exceed our needs. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
we will be singing 405, It's Just Like His Great Love.
A friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails though it is tried, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of his, but when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to him, the sin clouds rolled away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. Sometimes the clouds of trouble bedim the sky above. I cannot see my Savior's face. I doubt his wondrous love. But he from heaven's mercy sees, beholding my despair. In pity bursts the clouds between, and shows me he is there. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. Oh, I could sing forever of Jesus' love divine, of all his care and tenderness for this poor life of mine. His love is in and over all, and wind and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, peace be still, and rolls the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love.
Brethren, we are.
you, ladies, and Sean. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And you can say we'll be most of the time in Proverbs chapter 6. We'll look at a few other verses, but most of the time in Proverbs chapter 6. Adam, a really strong guy at the gym, can he press twice his weight, two times his body weight? Can anyone that you know of press two times their body weight? How about three or four times their body weight? Impossible. The proportionate of the ant to humans is that the ant is much stronger. The leaf-cutting ant can carry up to 50 times its weight, which means a 200-pound guy like me could carry 5 tons on their back. That's what the leaf-cutting ant can do, and it can carry that for 17 miles. If you can imagine a 200-pound man carrying 5 tons, 17 miles, that's what a leaf-cutting ant can do. A large colony of ants can move 30 to 40,000 pounds of dirt in a 90-day period. Or they can move 5,000 pounds of food to their nest in a 90-day period to prepare for winter. And there's over 8,000 species of ants that exist today. Proverbs chapter 6, notice verse 6. The Bible tells us this: "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth the food in the harvest." We're going to look tonight at character lessons we can learn from an ant. Father, we ask you to help us tonight to get the thoughts that we have across and clear. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to be a help and a blessing and a challenge to some. I pray, Lord, that you'd just help us to realize that this is one of the commands you give us because it's something important and can be a help to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have bees, and so most of you know that. A bee is similar to an ant in the sense that they work very, very hard as well. They don't have a boss. Again, the ants don't either. That's why we'll see that in a little bit. It takes 683 bees, which fly 32,550 miles, to gather 5.93 pounds of nectar from 1,185,000 flowers to make one of those little 10-pound bottle of honey. So, again, a small amount of honey. They said that a bee will make up to 1 tablespoon of honey in its lifetime. In the summer, a bee lives 5 to 6 weeks. In the winter, a bee lives 5 to 6 months. But a bee has a very short life period. I'm assuming the ants are too. But again, God made them with an instinct, and God made them with the ability to do some things that we're supposed to learn from. That's why he says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." When we talk about going to the ant and considering her ways, you'll find that there are several other commands in the Bible. One of them is in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. You know what it says? Says this: "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is a command, a biblical command. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, it tells us, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." In Mark chapter 5, verse 41, he said, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." As much as those are commands to a child of God, he also gives us that command in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, and he says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." So what he tells us is that it's not something that he'd like for us to do. It's something he wants us to do. It's something that we can learn from them. And again, it's amazing if you start studying some of the animals and some of the insects and some of the things out in life. Nature is an amazing creation. Now, you and I are too. That's why the Bible says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. Again, when you think of how complicated the human brain is, that's not even talking about the heart and the liver and the kidneys and the gallbladder and all the rest of it. We are an amazing creature. Some of us are very special. Some of us more special than others. But the truth is, God did some amazing stuff. When you think of bees, most of you know that all the bees in the hive are what sex? They're all girls. Except the drones, and the drones live a short time and they die. Their purpose is for mating, and then they die. And by the way, in the wintertime, they don't need any drones because there's no mating going on. So if you've ever watched the hive, and I had, my dad had bees, so as a kid, I'd go out in the wintertime and watch them. They would drag the drone out because his time has passed. He's no longer needed in the wintertime, so they're not going to feed him because he's not necessary. They drag him and they scoot his little body off and they shove him off the hive. If he goes out and crawls back up there, they meet him and shove him back off again. Until if he continues to do that and doesn't just die, they will sting him to death. But basically, they don't have any freeloaders in the hive. I don't know if ants are that way, but I know that bees are. I do know that ants are all female as well. Again, it's amazing when you think about that, guys. It means that girls are probably harder workers than a lot of guys. And they don't do much complaining, and they don't have to have anyone boss them around and cracking the whip. Now, someone will immediately tell me after church, because the other night after I preached the message that I'd preached at the Valentine's banquet, they said, "Thank you for preaching all the stuff to the men. Now, when are you going to have a lesson for the ladies?" And I said, I'm not as up on the ladies' side as I am on the guys' side. It's not quite as easy. But again, he tells us to go to the ant, consider her ways, and be wise. Now, it's a command. And again, that command is just like the command that says that we ought to love others as ourselves. Just like the command that says that we ought to, husbands are supposed to love their wives, and wives are supposed to submit to their husbands, and children to obey their parents. It's a command. The thing he mentions here, he mentions that it is to a sluggard. It's directed to the lazy people, especially those, those are the folks that can learn the best lesson from the ant. We have piano lessons. We have cooking lessons. We have driving lessons. You know what God wants us to have? Ant lessons. He wants us to have lessons where we study the ant. Now, notice what he says. Or he says, consider her ways. Now, what he says is, I want you to watch some stuff. Now, one of the things that he mentions is their work ethics. We ought to study their work ethics. Now, by the way, if you know anything about bees, I know more about bees than ants. If you know anything about bees, when a bee finds some pollen out there, it'll come back, and by its moving around on the hive, it will give directions right back out to where the stuff is at. If you listened a minute ago, what I told you was that bees, 683 bees, will fly 32,550 miles to make us a 10-pound thing of honey, and they have to use 1,185 flowers, 85,000 flowers to make that honey. They do a lot of work. Bees can travel up, usually a hive of bees will travel 2 miles in any direction. They don't usually travel farther than that. And you say, well, why don't they make more honey than they do? Because here's the thing. They have to take some. They have to fill up the tank. And by the way, when that bee comes back, if he gives bad directions, you know what happens? Bees die. I mean, that's what happens. How many of you have ever seen a bee walking? Now, they usually fly. If you've ever seen a bee walking, you know what happened? He's like some of you. He ran out of gas, okay? But he don't have a gas station. Now, there's been times I've taken a little sugar water or a little bit of soda. They'll take a little drink and say, they don't usually say thank you, but, you know, wave at you, and off they go again. But if the bee comes and gives bad directions, that bee takes enough honey with him, enough food with him to make it out there, because he doesn't want to take a whole load. If he takes a whole load, he gets out there and he's only half empty, then he can only fill up halfway. So he wants to be empty when he gets there, and then he wants to bring back as much as he can. So he'll get directions, and if the bee gives bad directions, then bees die. But they work together. I mentioned that they live 5 to 6 weeks in the summer, and that's because of the fact that they're so busy in the wintertime. All they really do is just try to keep the hive warm and keep the hive alive till springtime comes, and then get back out working again. But again, he says, I want you to study their work ethics. By the way, we should study the organization. Now, we'll look at it in a minute when it goes into more detail, but study the organization. And he tells us that when we consider her ways, what will happen is that will make us wise. Now, all of us ought to want to be wise, so the truth is, he wouldn't hurt any of us tonight or in the near future to take some time to study the ants. Now, how many of you remember Bill Kilgass? Brother Nichols used to always joke when we'd be playing soccer, we'd all be playing soccer out there, and he said, next thing you know, Bill Kilgass has stopped in the middle of the field, and he was studying some bugs that he'd see on the ground. I mean, the soccer game's going on all around him, but he's down there, and be like, Bill! I mean, we'd holler at him, and then he'd get back in the game, but he was interested in the animals. I don't know if it was an ant he was watching, but he was watching some of the insects on the ground. But again, he says, I want you to learn from the ant. I want you to get some wisdom from the ant. Notice in verse 6. Notice verse 7, and this is where we get the organization part. It says, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. Now, no guide means there's no maps. There's no books to read. Now, again, I did not know this till I got into the bees as a kid. I helped my dad with the bees, but I didn't pay attention to all the details, as kids won't. Bees have a very good GPS. When my bees leave their the front of the hive and go out, they know exactly how to come right back in and land right in the same opening, right on the same spot. If I move the hive a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, it messes them up. If I'm going to move a hive someplace, I move a hive. If I'm going to move a hive from one place to the next, I'll move a hive, and then I'll put something in front of them. So when the bee comes out, he realizes, whoops, and then he goes back and he has to figure out. It makes him reset his GPS. But again, the bee has a great GPS. Now, humans have came up with those in the last few years, and they come in really handy, except when the times that they tell you you have arrived and there's nothing there where you've arrived at. That happened to me this last week, and I thought, so much for me arriving. All there was I was looking for a hotel to pick some folks up from, and I was at a big warehouse. And I thought, lest the hotels have become warehouses, I'm in the wrong place. But again, they have no guide. They don't have maps. They don't have books to read. They possess an innate desire to follow and obey God's plan for them. Again, they realize, if you could picture it, this is actually pure and total obedience that drives them. God gave them an innate nature. If you've ever watched the birds fly south, how many of you ever watched the birds fly south? I used to always like to watch the ducks and the geese. They fly south in the winter, go down to the warmer area, and then they fly back north in the summer. Now, there will be some that stop along the way and stay where they're at. I mean, there will be some that stay, for instance, there's some that stay in our area. There's some of my pond this winter. But most of them fly down with, now, by the way, that's within them. That's in their nature. No one tells them that. That's something that they get, I mean, that God put in there. He mentions there, not only do they not have no guide, they also don't have an overseer. Now, Proverbs chapter 15, notice verse 3 in your Bibles. This would be a good thing for us to understand, because even though the boss may not be watching, or the parents may not be watching, there is someone that's always watching. Notice Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I used to work at a welding company in Oklahoma City. And when the boss, he would always have to come out the office door, close the door. He'd stand there, put on his helmet, put on his safety glasses, put in his earplugs. While he was doing that, the folks who were not working would notice him, and then they'd yell, "The boss is coming." And all the guys that were standing around talking and visiting, and there was only some standing around talking and visiting, they would get back to work. Now, the reason as soon as the boss went back in the office, they quit working and went right back to talking again. That's called low productivity. I mean, they weren't accomplishing much. They would get mad. I worked with some Korean fellas, and by the way, they didn't talk much, and they worked really hard, and I did too, but they would fuss at us because they said, "You guys got to stop working so hard. You're making us look bad." By the way, I wasn't making them look bad. You know what? They were making themselves look bad because they were lazy and they weren't working. But again, understand, he says they had no guide. They have no overseer. They don't have anyone that makes them do right. Now, when we say they have no overseer, they also don't have a ruler. If you know anything about the queen, in the hive of the ants, or in the hill of the ants, or in the hive of the bees, the queen is not the boss. The queen is only in charge of what? Reproduction. All she does, now she gets a lot of special attention, but she's the queen. She doesn't wear a crown, okay? She doesn't have any high position. She's just the one that lays all the eggs. Now, she will live 3 or 4 or 5 years. But the truth is, she doesn't. All she's in charge of is reproduction. She's not in charge of production. She's in charge of reproduction. She'll lay, I don't know about ants, but a queen bee can lay up to 2,000 eggs a day. Now, they only lay as many as the hive can feed. So, again, if it's not a very strong hive, she will lay just a few eggs. When the hive gets stronger, she'll lay more eggs. And the ideal thing is when the stuff finally greens up and stuff starts blooming, the hive is built up enough that they can go out and gather a bunch of honey. Because, again, they've always got some going out and getting the honey. They've got some going out and getting water. They've got some that stay in front of the hive, and they simply fan, and they're the air conditioning for the hive. They got some that's taking care of the baby or the larva, and they got some that's taking care of the queen. So some of the bees have special jobs. They don't go out, not all of them go in and get honey. But again, everybody works together doing their job without a boss. There's not a hierarchy. There's not a leader or a boss. Many people thought that the queen was, but the queen is just in charge of reproduction. She is not in charge of the work that's going on. No one forces followership in the ants or in the bees. There's no king or dominant authority figure. Now, when we grow up, we don't need, we often tell young people, they'll say, "Brother Block, I want people to treat me like a grown-up." Now, I can tell you that not all grown-ups even act like grown-ups. And so the fact that you're a teenager. But I said this, what makes people think you're grown-up? When you start being responsible. What that means is you start doing what you're supposed to do without being told. Mom doesn't have to tell you to clean your room. Mom doesn't have to tell you to do your chores. Mom and Dad don't have to make you mow the yard. Can you imagine now if you really want to just pull one over on Mom and Dad, mow the yard without being told? One of two things will happen. Either they'll chew you on or you just killed your dad, okay? I mean, he had a heart attack. I mean, and your dad lost his life because he surprised him so much. Now, we don't want you to do that, so maybe warn him and say, Dad, please don't die. I'm going to mow the yard, okay? But the truth is, when you become responsible, that's when you start growing up. And by the way, that's when people start giving you some privileges, because there are privileges that come after you show some responsibility. All children and all people want privileges, but most people do not want the responsibility. Now, understand, we have to make kids go to school. We have to make kids make the bed. We have to make folks clean up. We have to make folks get to work. We have to make folks come to church. Sometimes the parent has to make the child tithe. Not just teach them to tithe, make them tithe. My mom and dad made a very clear rule. You get allowance and you don't tithe, you stop getting allowance. We didn't get allowance when we got a little older and we started making our own money. We didn't get an allowance anymore. The truth is, there were sometimes my brothers and I were the bank for my mom and dad. I'm not going to ask any of you parents here if you've ever borrowed from your children, but sometimes, now my mom and dad kept track of it, but sometimes my parents owed us money because we had money and they did not, because we was working and we didn't have that much to spend it on. So Dad would keep up with it when we sold livestock, then he'd pay us back. He kept a running tab of the money that he owed us children. But again, understand, these folks, again, they have no guide, they have no overseer, they have no ruler, but still they work hard and they accomplish what they need to accomplish. Now, I told you that the queen is not in charge of production. She's in charge of reproduction. Now, she does get a lot of attention. She is special. Well, by the way, without her, the hive dies. I check my bees on a regular basis. If the queen's gone, my hive will last a few weeks. Again, remember in the wintertime, those bees live 5 to 6 months. So if she dies during the wintertime, those bees will live during the winter, and then they'll die. If it's during the summertime, in 5 to 6 weeks, the hive is so weak that now the moths or something else will come in and take over. So she is very important, but she is in charge of reproduction, not in charge of production. Again, she has a very important job. And by the way, you have a very important job. You may not be the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. We only have one of those. You may not even be the bus director at Liberty Baptist Church. We only have one of those. But I don't care. I don't know what position you have, but I can tell you this. Every position in the church, just as every position in the hive or every position in the mound, every position is important without everyone doing their job. For instance, if the ones that were taking care of the bee larvae did not take care of the bee larvae, the hive would die. The queen can lay the eggs, but if the other ones do not take care of the eggs and take care of the larvae, then did the queen no good to lay the eggs and make the babies. Again, if the queen dies because the bees don't take care of her, again, in the short time, the hive will die. Everybody has a purpose, and every one of us have a responsibility at Liberty Baptist Church. He mentions that we all have a duty. Not that we don't all hold the same office. We don't all have the same responsibility, but we all do have a responsibility at Liberty Baptist Church. Notice verse 7. He goes on and says, which having no guide, overseer, ruler, verse 8, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Now, notice when you look at the part where it says provideth her meat in the summer, that is because in warm weather, that's when stuff's growing. That's when there's warm weather. If you go out in the wintertime, you notice they have enough sense, by the way, to stay in out of the cold. They have enough. Besides, if you know anything about bees and ants, they are cold-blooded. So the truth is, they go out. They're kind of like a snake or a reptile. They're cold-blooded, so they have a hard time in the wintertime. They would freeze. The fellow that sold me some bees one time, he said there's a couple rules you need to keep in mind. Bees can get wet and live. Bees can get cold and live. But bees get wet and cold, they're dead. And so one time I went out, it was sprinkling, and it was a little chilly. I went out, and a bunch of my bees were just, they were just all massed, a big bunch of them. I mean, big old clump of them on the front of the hive. They were just all in a big mass. So being the kind beekeeper that I was, I went and got one of those big tubs, scraped them all off in the tub, took them in the house, back in the house, put a towel over them, taped it down, thought I had it taped good. But I can tell you, bees always find a hole. You say, how do you know that? Because in a little while, my wife said, do you have bees in the house? And the reason she knew there was bees in the house, because there were bees in the house. Now, I had them in the far room. I had a towel taped over it with duct tape. I had a towel stuck at the door, but they still got out because we had the lights on, and they came to the light. We had bees everywhere. And she says, all right, that's it. stop being nice to the bees. The bees can die, but they can't come in the house. And so, again, they can't get cold and wet. But again, mentions that they provide their meat in the summer. They realize they have a short time together. They realize they have a short time to work, much like us. Now, again, most people here tonight, you either are retired or you're working to retire. Okay, that is your, I mean, that's what you're looking for. So there's an age that you work because you realize one of these days you probably have to quit working because this quits working. I mean, you're still alive, but I mean, and by the way, sometimes even just getting around is an effort. But again, we work while we can. And we're trying to provide for our future. That's what they do every summer. They gather. They gather all that they can. And by the way, they usually gather more than they need, but they gather what they think they're going to need and extra because they know winter's coming and they can't go out in the wintertime. There's not stuff blooming. There's not seeds and stuff in the wintertime. They've got a short time period. By the way, you and I as children of God also have a short time period. That's why the Bible says for us to work for the what? Night is coming when no man can work. There'll be a day that by the way, that is different for different people. Tonight there might be someone that you go by, I mean, whether it's at the fast food joint or the grocery store, there might be someone that tonight's the night that they would actually hear the gospel. Because something happened today or something happened the last day or two that's making them think about God. Maybe they had a death in the family. Maybe they're worried about all the stuff that's going on in Ukraine and if we're getting a nuclear war. Oh, by the way, you're even talking about now we may do away with our currency. By the way, our dollar's not worth a lot anyway. And if they have their way, it will be worth a lot less in the future. But the truth is, there are people right now that's scared. They're scared about the future. Now, that's one thing a child of God does not have to be afraid of. By the way, whether things are going good or things are going bad, we always have God on our side and He's always in charge of stuff. But again, I don't know when the night is for every person. I don't. By the way, I also don't know how long I'm going to live. I told my kids this. I've told you before. I told my kids when I went to the doctor one time. My kids said, "What did the doctor say?" And I said, "He says I'm going to die." And they said, "What?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Sometime in the future, maybe a few years, maybe several years, but I'm going to die someday." So I said, "You better come see me because you never know how long I'm going to be around." Then they said, "That's not funny, Dad." I thought it was very funny. They did not think it was very funny. But the truth is, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. That's why it tells us not to worry about tomorrow, because it might not happen. But by the way, that's also why we're supposed to work today, because, again, the night's coming when no man can work. So the bees and the ants, they gather in the summertime, because in the wintertime there's nothing together. Now, mentions her meat. She feeds herself. Now, by the way, those of you that are raising your children to have a little bit of pride in themselves, that's a good thing. There are a lot of people that don't teach their children that. And teach your children, by the way, not to take handouts and not to always go around and ask people for stuff. Now, kids have no monitor. I mean, kids are always, "You going to eat that?" No. I mean, we used to joke. We used to have kids at school that someone would say, "I don't want this." And they'd go, "Ask so-and-so." And I'm going to not name his name, but he ate anyone's food that didn't want their food. Maybe that kept some kids from getting in trouble. I don't know. But because a lot of parents do check at the end of the day and say, "Is all your lunch gone?" Yep. It didn't mean they ate it all because they had some assistance at school. But again, they provide their own meat. They gather in the summer so they can live in the winter. Now, it mentions that she gathers her food in the harvest. They understand that there's a time, and they use it wisely. Brother Vineyard used to tell us this constantly in Bible college. He used to say this, "Don't be a fellowshipper." Chile, did they tell you that in Bible college? It may have just been Brother Vineyard. Tatiana, you ever hear that? So not you, but Brother Vineyard, one of his biggest sayings was, "Don't be a fellowshipper." He didn't stop there. Then he said this, "Fellowshippers never do anything for God." Now, he didn't mean it's wrong to have fellowship. The Bible teaches that fellowship's a good thing. But when he meant fellowshippers, what he meant was folks who always stand around talking. You know what folks who always stand around talking, you know what they accomplish? Nothing, usually. Now, there are times that talking's a benefit. For instance, the other day when Adam and I was talking to Ray, it was a benefit. But some people spend all their time talking and no time doing. By the way, James had a problem with that. James chapter 2, verse 18, he said, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." So James said, "You know what? I don't stand around talking about it. I get out and get it done." So again, we want to make sure that we stop talking and we start doing. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5 gives us the next statement. Proverbs 10:5 says, "He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. He that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame." So again, just as the ant gathered in the summer, preparing for the winter. Now, if you know anything about farming, you can't farm in the wintertime. Equipment gets parked. I mean, You can't grow most now. There, you can plant winter wheat, and all it really is, you're just planting the wheat in the wintertime. It gets up about that tall, and then you wait for the spring rains, and then it grows. But they do get the fields at least plowed and planted, and the wheat starts up. But they don't. There's not much that grows in wintertime. Most of you, if you have fruit trees and things like that, they don't do very good in the wintertime. Again, understand we have a limited amount of time. Then the last thing, and I'll be done. Notice Proverbs chapter 30. This, again, is talking about the ant. Verses 6, 7, and 8 gave us the first three things. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25, and we'll look at the last thing, and then we'll be done. Proverbs 30, verse 25 makes this statement. The ants are a people, notice the next phrase, not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Now, what it means is they're little. Now, when we talk about little people, sometimes that means people like me. I told someone the other day, they said they wanted to give me some coffee. I said, I don't drink coffee. They said, how come you don't drink coffee? And I said, because my mom wouldn't let me. She used to tell me if I drank coffee, it would make me short. And I said, as short as I am right now, I'd have been a midget if I drank coffee. I don't have any idea how short I'd have been. I'd have been a midget. I mean, you know, you wouldn't have been able to see me. I'd have been down here like this. And I mean, thank God I didn't drink coffee. Unless mom's not exactly right about that, and I'm not sure that she was, but I probably drank three or four cups of coffee my whole life. Don't even like the taste of it. But again, you mentioned too that they're not a strong person. They're not a strong people. Now, by the way, altogether they accomplish great things. And by the way, if you've ever seen them, if you ever go out and study the ants and watch them, if one's dragging something that's too heavy for him, you know what'll happen? Some other ant will come and help him. When they get there, if there's a clog at the doorway, they don't fight each other and kick each other and beat up on each other like people do sometimes. They'll help each other. And I've seen them get a stick like that. They'll get it and turn it and stand it up straight and pull it down in the hole. I mean, they can do some amazing stuff because they work together. It's important that we understand they're not a strong people, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Now, notice when we talk about that, it says not strong. That's compared to others. And that's because they're so small. You can step on ants and not even realize you're stepping on them. Now, some people step on ants on purpose. Now, I can tell you the only ant that I really, really dislike is the fire ants. I really hate fire ants. All the other ants at my place, I let them live. The fire ants, I do not like. Not just because they sting me, but they're hard on livestock. They're hard on my baby. When the hen starts hatching out the chick, the little chick can take anywhere from 8 to 24 hours to get out of the egg because it'll start pecking. And I had them years ago before I learned this. I had a hen that was sitting on eggs. She was on several eggs. I went out and saw her in the morning. She was doing good. The chicks were pecking their way out. I did not have the experience with fire ants at the time. This was 25, 30 years ago. And the next thing I know, the hen's off the nest. She's got one or two baby chicks. And I thought, what did she do with one or two baby chicks? And I thought, she has a lot more eggs than that. And I went and looked, and the fire ants were all over those ants because of the moisture. If you know anything, you put something out, it doesn't take the ants long to find it. They actually, when the baby chick had pecked a little bit of a hole in there, they went inside. I cracked those eggs open, and all that was left was just bones. They had taken the flesh and the feathers and everything off those little baby chicks and just ate them to death. So I have a great dislike for fire ants. So when I have a hen that sets, I'll spray around the nest box and make sure that a few days before she hatches out eggs. And if you'll see me after church, I'll even show you. I've never had this happen before. I had a hen that had 20 eggs. A little hen set on 20 eggs. She hatched out 19 of those eggs, and she still has 18 of them alive 2 weeks later. I mean, and they were all about the size of a golf ball when they were born. But, I mean, a pile of, I've had 8 and 10 and 12 before, but never 19 baby chicks from one hen. But, again, understand, I hate fire ants. But, again, they're small, but they accomplish great things. Now, notice it says in that verse, it says, they're not a strong people, yet they prepare. Yet they prepare. Now, they accomplish great things. The reason they accomplish great things is because they work together. Now, the Bible tells us I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The devil will come along and get you thinking that you can't. Either you can't handle your job, or you can't handle your husband or your wife. You can't handle your burdens. You can't handle your bills. He likes to discourage people. The devil's a great discourager. Now, by the way, he also is a great big liar. So you have to understand, just the fact the devil tells you that doesn't mean it's true. He's a liar. But he likes to tell you that you can't. You know why? Because if you're convinced that you can't, guess what? You can't. That's why the Bible says, I mean, as a man thinking this heart so easy, there's two different ways to take it. One is, I mean, this way here where, you know, if you decide you can't do it, you really can't. When you give up, guess what? You just lost. You just lost. You're done. If you give up, I mean, you're done. Now you say, well, what does it matter? I mean, I'm not that important. How many of you ever seen a basketball game? Most of you have seen a basketball game. Used to, we had basketball at Liberty Christian Academy. Now, we didn't always have the best. We didn't always have the greatest player. Now, I've often said this to my boys. We worked a lot. We ran a lot. We did a lot of stuff. And there's lots of games that we came back and won in the fourth quarter. I mean, we might be behind, but we didn't quit till the last buzzer sounded. I remember Brother Perry, can remember this, Miss Perry, because her son was in this tournament. But years ago, we played in a tournament in Town East. And in the tournament, you play teams, and they didn't know us. So sometimes they'll base you on your record. In this case, they didn't. We had a good record, but we weren't in the league, so we were one that was just put in. We played against a group called the Flames from Austin. The very first team we played, they beat us by just a few points. That put us in the loser's bracket. Now, we're in the loser's bracket. It's a double elimination tournament, so we're in the loser's bracket. So we play another game, beat them, and we play another game. It was on a Friday. Then on a Saturday, we play another game. We beat them. We actually have to fight our way back out of the loser's bracket, back to the winner's bracket, and now guess who we're facing again? The Flames. Now, our boys are tired. They played two or three games on Friday. Now they're in the third or fourth game on Saturday. They are wore out. Charlie horses, I mean, a guy will come lay on the bench. We'd rub a Charlie horse out, send someone else in. I mean, they were tired. They were wore out. We played the Flames. We beat the Flames. We're all excited. We got first place. And then the coach said, whoa, 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 whoa. It's a double elimination tournament. We've only been beat one time. You have to play us again. Now, we just played our hearts out. We just gave everything we had. Now we have to play them again. Say, what did the boys do? Cried and went home. No, I'm just joking. I mean, they played them again and beat them again. And we finally got first place trophy. But they were wore out. They were tired. You know why? Because they never gave up. I was so proud of them. Now, they weren't the best team out there, but they played harder and worked harder than most teams. And they didn't give up. Now, I've said this to our players before. I've seen teams that have a great player. And the team that has a great player will usually get beat if it's a 5 or 6 or 7 game series. They'll get a great player, and mediocre other players will get beat by just a good team. I mean, just 5 good players. And by the way, you don't have to be the greatest. You don't have to be the most outstanding. By the way, you just do what you can do, and you'll accomplish something in doing that. Now, he mentioned in the book the government spends billions of dollars today to teach people to succeed. He said, maybe they should be made to have to follow around an ant for a little while. Could you imagine that? Tell your son, tell your daughter, all right, give you $5. I want you to follow it. See that ant right there? I want you to follow him and maybe even put a mark on him with some whiteout or something. And when he goes and follows, goes down the hole, you make him, he has to stand there and wait. Because, by the way, he'll be back out. He takes that down, drops the stuff off. And then he comes back out and goes back at it again. But again, maybe that'd be a good chore to give your children. I mean, an assignment again. He says we teach folks to succeed. One of the best ways to teach them to succeed would be to follow the ant around. It mentions in the summer they have time management. They pay their bills. They do the work they're supposed to do. When we think of the workers, they're trained. The young are trained by involvement. You know what, mom and dad, take your son or daughter with you soul winning. Take your son or daughter with you on the bus route. Take your son or daughter with you when you go someplace. I mean, teach them some stuff. I was talking to a man today, Brother Perry and I was doing a job, and I was standing there talking to the guy. I learned a lot from Brother Elliot. I don't know if you remember Brother Elliot. I learned a lot from Brother Elliot. He was a lot more talkative than my dad. My dad used to just work, and I had to just learn by watching my dad because he didn't say much. But Brother Elliot trained me how to change the ballast in the lights. And he trained me how to do stuff with toilets and the sinks and things like that. I learned a lot from Brother Elliot. Now, again, understand, Brother Elliot was an older man. Now he's in heaven. And I'm trying to do the things that he taught me to do. And guess what I did a few years ago in school? We had a shop class, and I taught the boys how to change. I taught them how to change the floats in the toilets and how to change the handles in the toilets. I didn't show them how to change the wax rings because we didn't want to pull the toilet all the way up. But again, most of those things are really simple if someone shows them how to do it. So again, take your kids, teach them how to do stuff. By the way, teach them also to earn some money. When they earn money on their own, they won't spend it near as frivolously. Can't say that word very well. But they won't spend it near as readily if they make it as if you give it to them. I can tell you all the time, I don't mind spending your money. I don't like spending my money, okay? If someone gives me $20, it's like, hey, free money. Let's go eat. But if it's my money, it's like, all right, one burrito and 2 tacos at Taco Bell, $6.98. I mean, and then we'll get a soda at the Valero because they're 99 cents or whatever it is. But again, teach your kids to work. Brother Elliot taught me a lot. My dad taught me a lot. He not only taught me how to work, but he also taught me to make sure that I pay my bills. that I do, I'm responsible with my money. Again, the very least that we should have tonight is the character of an ant. Now, again, the Bible says that we're supposed to study him. That means she has something to teach us. Again, he gives us a command, just as he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He tells us, if you're struggling with your work ethic, go watch the ant for a little while and watch them and learn from them and figure some stuff out from them. And again, what he tells us is they're little, but they're very strong and very powerful. They accomplish great things. I can't imagine 30 to 40,000 pounds of dirt. That's a lot of dirt. I don't know how much dirt's in what they call when they give you a big scoop. I don't know how much it weighs because I've never weighed dirt. But I can tell you 30 or 40,000 pounds is a lot of dirt. To think of ants moving that much dirt. And some of you have done it because you've walked over and you wiped out the mound. And you come back about a half hour later and it's right back again. You're thinking, I just wiped that mound out. And you've done it again. I mean, you can spray it with water. You can do all kinds of stuff. By the way, they don't give up very easy. A lot of lessons we can learn from the ant. So he teaches us here when it comes to character that we ought to at least strive to have at least the character of an ant.